Welcome everybody to A Servant's Heartbeat. My name is Kristen. Thank you for listening and allowing me to share my heartbeat for the kingdom of God with you. All right, so digging into our topic today. We'll start with this. There are several things in life that appear to be very consistent. And one of those things is there always seems to be a need, and there is always work to do. Even after you've done everything you thought you needed to do, more work, more needs keeps appearing. And at some point you ask yourself, how do I balance this work with all the needs? Because I need rest. Sometimes you may feel like you're playing whack-a-mole with all the needs and work in your life. Whack-a-mole is that game where there's a bunch of holes on the board, and this little mole guy, he keeps popping up out of these random holes. And your job is to take that hammer and knock him out so he can't keep popping up in all these random places. Well, not that I'm speaking from experience or anything, but sometimes it can feel like these constant needs, these constant responsibilities keep popping up everywhere. And you're trying your best to whack that mole and take care of this need and this work and that work. And sometimes you may not feel like you're being very successful. And even when you are being successful, you're like, man, I'm tired. I've been doing a lot of whacking of these moles here and taking care of all these needs and whatnot. But eventually your body begins to send the alarm after you've whacked all those needs and moles and done everything. It's like, hey, buddy, we need some rest. But when the work and the needs are constantly popping up, how do you balance work and rest? Well, in September last year, I was asking myself this very question. And there was a podcast episode I did called Balancing Work and Rest. A month later, I did an episode called Finding Rest. And now, 6 months later, after recording that and studying all that, I'm still kind of running that question through my mind. How do I balance work and rest? And I'm convinced I'm probably not the only one asking that question. I can look at the podcast stats and see that the episode on balancing work and rest is among our top 5 listened to episodes. And the episode on finding rest is in the top 10. So I may be making some assumptions here, but that tells me that I'm not the only one that's asking this question. How do we balance work and rest? And how do I find that time to rest? The last few weeks have been a little draining, possibly a dry season, if you will, where I'm having to expend a lot of energy, and it feels like I can't quite find enough time to rest. And when that happens, we can become weary, and burnout creeps in. And when you're burnt out, you start to feel a little numb towards the spiritual building things, such as prayer or spending more time with God. So recently I decided to dive back into this topic that I've already studied and have already addressed here on the podcast. But as I began to study recently, I'm telling you, it was almost pretty exciting because I had some wow moments with verses that I've come across dozens of times. I've spent time in prayer and study about these verses before, but this time, there was something new about it. This time it seemed like the Lord began to reveal things that I did not see before. And with that said, you know, as we begin to jump into this, I don't know if this will be the only episode where we talk about work and rest again, or if there'll be more that we talk about and we do a more series about it. Who knows? We'll see. For today, the thing that has been most burning in my heart, if you will, about this work and rest is to focus with the conclusion of the whole thing in mind, the end of the matter. So when it comes to the answer or finding that answer to how do we balance work and rest, I want to begin with the end in mind. And that end is the ultimate place of rest. It's a place that goes beyond just having the weekend off, the place that goes beyond the week off that I just had for spring break, the place that goes beyond the summer break I'm looking forward to coming in May. As we talk about rest, I want to begin with the end in mind. And the end that I am striving for is that place where He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, what a glorious day that will be. A place of eternal rest. I want to hear Him say, "Well done." There is a song by Karen Peck called "Finish Well." And if you haven't heard it, it's definitely worth a listen. One of the lines of that song says, "How glorious that moment to see Him face to face, to hear Him say, 'Well done, my child, you've finished your race.'" So perhaps answering the question, how do you balance work and rest, ties into how I plan to finish, and I want to finish well. How I finish this race called life will determine the rest I find in eternity. I want to hear Him say, "Well done." Well, well done in what? Being good and faithful, working to do the will of God. What is the will of God? It's the present duty. I want to think about resting. I want to think about finding that place of rest with heaven in view. There's an old song that says, "When my work on earth is through, I'm coming home to be with you. Just wanted to tell you I'm thankful. That's all." And I tell you what, I am thankful when I think about all the work that we are doing here on earth. When all of that is through, there is a place of ultimate rest, a place prepared for me, a place prepared for you. And while I'm on my way to that place, I think there are some things that I can intentionally do to find rest right now. Now, since we have talked about the end result, and that is getting to that ultimate place of rest, let's go back to the beginning. And I mentioned this in the previous episodes about work and rest we did months ago, but this goes all the way back to creation. In the beginning, God began the work of creation. It says in Genesis 2:2, "And on the seventh day, God ended His work, which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day." Well, going just a little bit further in the book of Exodus, we're pretty familiar with the Ten Commandments that were given in Exodus chapter 20. And while I was reading these commandments, it struck me that some commandments were given in one sentence. Just boom, here it is. And possibly some of those things needed no further explanation. But in the KJV, at least, the commandment about the Sabbath is explained in 4 verses. So more words were said about how to follow the Sabbath, this resting time, compared to others. Now, I don't say this to suggest that any commandment is more or less important than another, but it's just simply an observation that caught my attention. Why say this in so many words? So Exodus chapter 8 says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." And the Lord didn't stop there. He continues by saying, "6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. Talk about some clarification. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it. So the Sabbath is this period of rest, and we are told to keep it holy. Well, holy is something that is set apart or dedicated unto the Lord. And when you set apart something for the Lord, that is worship. Worship isn't just something we do on Sundays, but it's a lifestyle. So one of the aha moments for me in looking into this has been that when I remember the Sabbath, that I need some rest with Him, and I keep that holy, it is a form of worship. Now, some say that the Sabbath is on a Saturday. Some say it's on Sunday. Honestly, I'm not trying to specify the calendar day. That's not my point. What I really want to get at is that making sure that we remember the Sabbath, a moment to rest with the Lord, that is worship. Making sure that I have a time of rest to dedicate that I can spend with Him, that is worship. Now, this is not saying that my rest is when I snuggle up under a blanket and take me a nap. While I do enjoy that, my place of rest is that I'm aiming for is to be resting in Him. Going back to the idea of considering the end, I want to finish well. The rest that I'm looking forward to is seeing my Savior. In Matthew 11, the Lord said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." I mentioned this in the Finding Rest episode months ago, but there are some stages of sleep, rest, if you will, that range from like a dozing off phase to that deep REM sleep stage where a marching band couldn't wake you up. And you can be easily shaken out of sleep when you're just dozing. Anything can get you distracted from that rest. It could be worry. It could be you're too busy. It could be sickness. It could be pain, whatever. But that stage of deep sleep, that REM sleep, when you are really getting some rest, that is the most difficult to be wakened from. And that's the rest that I want to be in. I don't want to be in that rest where I am tossing and turning, but there is a depth of rest in the Lord where I'm not easily shaken or awakened by distractions and worries of this world, because I'm resting in Him. It's in Him where I find rest for my soul. Now, for some of us, Sunday may be one of the busiest days of the week. Maybe you teach Sunday school. Maybe you do things with the music. Maybe you work with the youth. Maybe you're involved in a ministry or a bus ministry. You name it. Those are all areas of work where someone can do something for the kingdom of God. And I believe the Lord honors our good and faithful commitment to those areas. So I'm not saying that we don't find rest on Sunday or on any other day of the week that we come together and worship. But I think it renders a great benefit, no matter the day, when I intentionally seek out and set aside a time of rest where I can press the pause button on all the work for a moment and focus on resting with and being with Him. Because here's the thing, if I do not intentionally seek rest with Him, my doing for God outweighs my being with God. And if my doing for God outweighs my being with God, well, that takes a toll on my relationship with Him and my relationship with those around me. I'm trying to pour out my service with an empty cup. I've got nothing left because I've been doing and not being with Him. It's that being with Him that fills my cup. David said, "My cup runneth over." There's nothing wrong with the doing. I want to hear Him say, "Well done." And pun intended here. I don't want to be so well done that I am burnt out. I need to seek those Sabbath moments with Him, where the work ceases for a moment and my mind is so focused, so in tune on being with Him. Now, I've heard several testimonies, I'm sure you have too, about the Lord waking people up in the middle of the night, or someone felt an urgent need to pray right then for a specific need. And miracles and answered prayers have come because somebody was sensitive and prayed right then. Well, the other morning, I was awake or awoken, however you said that, I don't know. But I was awakened at some point, and it was well before my alarm was supposed to go off. Well, with all those testimonies in mind that I had heard, I thought, "Here I am, Lord. Is there somebody that I can pray for right now? I mean, I am waiting. I am anticipating for some need to be laid on my heart." Now, I know that it may not be like this every time. Maybe next time there will be a need when I wake up really early in the morning. But in that moment, He wasn't laying a need on my heart, and I wasn't making any kind of petition, but it was a much needed Sabbath. I found some rest in that moment, a moment set aside just to love Him. As busy as my week had been when that happened, that was the moment I needed. This was a moment where I found rest in Him, a moment where He filled my cup. And when it came time to do work that day, because we're trying to balance work and rest, I was refreshed and able to pour out in serving wherever the need or responsibility was. I wasn't having to pour or attempt to pour from an empty cup, but my cup now had some overflow, because I had spent some time with the Lord, where work is not the main thing on my mind, but He was. So that Sabbath rest with Him, that moment that I had, makes me want to prepare for a moment like that again. So considering this idea of finish well, and getting to that place of eternal rest, John 14, 2 and 3 lets us know the Lord is preparing a place for us, a place for us to be with Him. John 14, 2 says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." Well, the Lord isn't the only one that can prepare a place. 1 Chronicles 15:1 says that David prepared a place for the ark of God. There's even a song that says, "Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you." Now, I know, and we know too, that God is not bound by the same things that we are. We as humans can become mentally and emotionally and physically exhausted, just tired, and we need rest. And on that note, I don't think God is looking for a place to rest so He can take a nap. But with that eternal rest in mind, finish well. we can begin to get an idea of the kind of rest that God is looking for right now. He said he is preparing a place for us. So, a question to consider, can I prepare myself to be a place where God can find rest? I know there is work to be done. There is things to do, hardships even to be bared. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:19, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." So when you're ready to rest, you don't just go lay any old place and in any old where, but there's some preparation that goes into that. I mean, how many of you have said yourself or heard somebody say, "Let's get ready to go to bed. Let's prepare for bed." There is a preparation that takes place even before you go to rest to get in your bed to have a good night's sleep. And tying this back into, I want to finish well, there is a preparation that takes place. We are preparing ourselves for that place of eternal rest. So let's talk preparation for a moment. In 2 Kings chapter 4, we read about a woman that made a preparation. So 2 Kings 4 and 8 says, "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold, I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither and turned into the chamber and lay there." Now those last two words, or last few words, "and lay there," that sounds like rest to me. So this woman saw the prophet pass by often. Verse 9 says he passed by continually, and she was aware of his passing by. So perhaps part of the preparation for rest is being aware, being in tune with the Lord, being sensitive to him. Genesis 28:16 says that Jacob awakes out of sleep and says, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." Now, when the Lord is moving, whether it is in a church service or in a conversation I'm having with somebody at the Walmart, I want to be aware. Because, Lord, if there's anything you need, in if there's any way you want to use me, I want to be prepared to listen. I want to be prepared to be led by you. So part of the preparation for rest is being aware. When I have been doing for God more than I have spent time being with him, I can become overly done or burnt out. So instead of well-doing to reach that place of well done, I'm overly done and I'm burnt out. And that burnout can lead to being numb. I'm numb to the awareness of, and being available and sensitive to him for those critical times where I'm led to the right place, to the right person for a specific need. So one of the things that I can work on when I'm trying to find that place of rest is an awareness of him. That woman was looking. She was watching for that prophet to pass by. And when he did, her thought was, "Hey, here's bread. You look hungry. Here's something I've prepared for you. I'm aware, you know, you may have some needs. You may have something you need. I think about the woman at the well in John 4. John 4, verse 6 says, Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. Well, weary because there was some work involved, and we're talking about trying to balance work and rest here. And his disciples later on tried to offer him food in John 4 and 31 through 34. They say, Master, eat. And Jesus said to them in verse 32, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. So his disciples in that moment were not aware. In verse 34, Jesus says, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish the work. Well, that kind of sounds like something familiar to me. Finish well. As I'm preparing for that eternal place of rest and finding rest while I am on this journey, I want to be continually aware of his will. His will is not some far-off thing that I cannot attain to. His will is the present duty. So Lord, help me to be aware. Help me to see the work, the present duty today, whatever it may be. I want to finish the work that matters most to you. I may not get everything done on my to-do list. I may feel like there are still things I want to accomplish, but I want to be aware of what matters most to God, that present duty. In every day that I am given, I want to finish well. I want to aim to spend time just to focus on being aware. Some time to get my marching orders, if you will, for that day, where God can order my steps. So part of being prepared, part of preparing myself for that rest, is to be aware. So now, the next thing, going back to this woman and Elisha, the prophet, in 2 Kings chapter 4, in verse 10, the woman said, Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. Now, I had to do a little digging because I guess just I didn't really know what that meant. And I was trying to figure out exactly where this chamber could have been. And the general consensus that I found in trying to search this out is that the chamber was above the main floor of the house. So notice that verse says, on the wall. Now, when you look into the manners and customs of culture and how things were back then, houses would have built a room on top of the main floor of their home. And this place was meant to be a guest room or a room for the entertainment of guests that you wanted to honor. And this was often referred to as a chamber or an upper chamber. The equivalent to this type of room in the New Testament was called an upper room. Now, where have we heard that word before or those words before? So here's some application that I can learn from this woman of Shunem. They intentionally made a room that was on top of the main floor of their house. Making sure God has room in my life is top priority. It's on the wall. There is work to be done, but I want to establish the priority that God is number one in this house. He is above, literally, because it was an upper chamber or an upper room that she made for him. So, have you made that upper room for God? Have you prepared? Have you established some priorities in life to where God takes that top room that belongs to him? And we as apostolics will sometimes use that phrase, an upper room experience. Well, I think those experiences will come more often the more we are aware of him. and the more established that I have it that he is priority number one. Work has to be done and needs have to be met, but when I'm looking at my list, the Lord gets that top floor. The Lord gets that top room, and every other priority has to fall under that. When I can make sure that I am aware of what's important to him, and that takes priority to me, everything else begins to fall in place. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. So think here, you know, when the Lord walks by and sees a place like that, that has been prepared for him, I can only imagine that it gets his attention. And he's like, hey, that's a place that I want to turn into and rest. So I'm not saying that we'll never be weary or tired. We're human, and you know that's going to happen. But if we'll maintain an awareness, if we'll strive to keep those priorities established, rest is coming. Times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. So maintain that awareness, maintain the establishment of those priorities, and let's finish well. Rest is coming. Verse 11 in 2 Kings 4 says, he turned into the chamber and lay there. Well, this is probably hard to believe coming from somebody recording a podcast, but I am not much of a talker. I am content to enjoy time with somebody that's a good friend and just knowing that they're there and I'm with them and we ain't got to say a word. I just enjoy their company. Well, there is something about knowing that God has come to rest in the house, that he has turned into the chamber of my heart to lay there. I can rest knowing that my God is here. I can find rest in knowing where maybe some people I love dearly have gone through some things, but to know that Jesus is here, I can rest in knowing that. I mentioned this in the episode about resting and knowing him from a few months ago, but that song, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." Part of that song says, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word." The key part here, just to rest. Just to rest upon his promise. Just to know, thus saith the Lord. So man, I'm telling you, there is just something about knowing that the Lord has entered into the chambers of your heart and has found a place to lay there, has found a place to rest. I go back to what Paul said, that the power of God may rest upon me, even when I've got some thorns in my flesh, even when I have gone through some things, even when the needs and the work feel overwhelming to me. His grace is sufficient, and it's going to be all right. I can glory in some of those infirmities, not to give myself attention, but to turn that awareness to him, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So the question I kind of asked earlier, can the Lord find a place to rest in you? Now, I have felt this way in my transparency, and maybe you have too, but sometimes we may feel like we are an unfit place for him to dwell. But oh, the blood of Jesus. Pastor has used this analogy several times, and it never gets old to me. But snow is an equalizer. It doesn't matter if you have the most immaculate house with the fanciest front yard, or if you live in the rundown house down the street with the paint peeling off the house and you got broke down cars all out in your front yard. When the snow falls, and when it covers it all, from the trailer house to the mansion, everything looks beautiful under the snow. So if you feel like an unfit place, Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. So, looking at my timer, as far as how long this part has gone, I feel like that this may be a topic that we continue a little bit, but I think for today, we have pretty much lined out that finding a place of rest begins with preparation. I want to be intentional about it. Prepare for that place of rest by being aware of the Lord. I want to be aware when He's moving. I want to be aware when He's passing by. I don't want to say the Lord was in this place and I knew it not. I want to be aware, Lord, you can come and find rest here. And I want to prepare by establishing priorities. I want to make room for God to have that place to rest, a place that's above the ground floor of my life, if you will, because it's that chamber that's above it all. It's that chamber that's an upper room. God, you have top priority. So, trying to balance work and rest. Let's start with preparing for rest with the end in mind. Let's finish well. And when I have settled it in my heart that I am determined to finish well, the end, it's settled, it's established. That's the goal I have in mind. And then I can begin working on the preparations to help me make it all the way. I want to finish well.